If you'll close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, when my eyes are closed, they can still see in the realm of the Spirit. That's the real choice for me today. Can I see in that realm? And the answer is yes. Can I hear in that realm? And the answer is yes. Can I speak in that realm? And the answer is yes. Am I connected to that realm? And the answer is yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. I have a very, let's say, different message today because of what Jesus did on July 28th at 5:46 a.m. So I question the Lord sometimes when he gives me a dream, if it's supposed to be shared or if it's just for me. Now, how many of you have family in religious organizations? Just put your hand up. All right. And I know that sometimes we'd like to help them out a little bit because we think that they might be, let's say, missing the boat or not getting enough of Jesus or maybe not understanding like you do. And maybe not comprehending God's plan like you do. So the only person that has actually heard about this dream is Peggy and my wife. Why Peggy? I don't even know why. But that particular day, I ended up sharing this. So she's going to have to hear it the second time. But in this dream, which was very real, my aunt, who was 50 years a nun in the Presentation of Mary, had a graduation of some type. And my father was there, and my mom was there as well. And my father says to me in the dream, are you going to sing a special song for her? And I said, yes. So he said, well, what is the song? Well, the song is about a song we used to sing on New Year's Day. When I was a kid, everybody in the family sang this particular song. And it's, I could sing it to you in French because it doesn't have coordinates in English, but really what it says is it's the time of a new year, and we give ourselves the hand and we embrace each other, and it's time to profit of this season because it only comes once a year. And I said to my dad, but I'm going to change some of the words and I'm going to have a second stanza for it because this celebration is for her. So that's kind of an odd piece of the puzzle, but Dad seemed to be okay, and he was there at a large table. Now, this table was probably half the size of this center of this area here, and there was a distinct reality to this table. It was wooden top, I would say oak, very heavy set, and there was no tablecloth, but there were three white dishes or plate settings. And here's the odd part. When my aunt went home to be with the Lord, I was in her apartment with some of my family, and my family member said, whatever you want to take home, that's a memento that belongs to either you gave it to her or you'd like to have it as a memento, you can have it. So they had taken out all the dishes out of the cabinets and they were on the table, etc. And to my surprise, there was a gravy boat. Just a simple little gravy boat, about this long. All white, it's English china. It belonged to my grandmother and it would be used at New Year's and Christmas. It would be also used at other special occasions. Now, that's the only piece that's left of my grandmother's favorite china, if you wish, and I got it. I have it in a special place. I shared it with the family because it's from the 1800s, and so it's pretty special. Three distinct plates. Now, I've never seen the plates except when I was a kid. But those three plates were very distinct on this dark wooden table. And of course, there's only three people in the dream. There's my mother, my father, and her sister. So I said to the Lord, you know, this is so strange, but when I wrote it down, I was just trying to write down what I experienced. After you write it down, you can digest it a little bit. So those three plate settings were very, very special, and they had a gold leaf in the middle, like the French symbol, you know, the fleur-de-lis. And the other plates were dark, and people of importance were also guests. And I knew that, but there was no focus on them. And there was a huge roast beef. I mean, unbelievable. It was so big. I mean, don't forget, my dad was a butcher, so I've got experiences. When my brother had his 25th anniversary, we roasted a half of a steer in the back of the house on an open pit. And we hired somebody to take care of it and roll it all night long. So we fed, I don't know, maybe 150, 200 people. So I am now slicing slices off of this intense roast. And I'm not that crazy about the well done, so I'm kind of slicing it. I mean, the slices were this wide. Well done, well done. Oh, now this is getting juicy. That'll be for me. And I'm sharing it, and I'm not dishing it out. I'm just slicing it and putting it in some kind of a container on the table. So I'm very aware that there's food, but it's major food, it's meat. And I have a sense that that's important in the dream. Now, it was the size of a half of a steer, that's what I wrote. Some of it well done, and some nice and rare, and there was a hutch. Now, this part was so odd, because this was like a break front, and it was like when John is sitting and probably, you know, 10 feet or more in length with all glass front, every door closed, but in the back was all mementos. And some of those mementos I recognized were mine when I was a child. Like my favorite pickup truck, my favorite whatever somebody gave me. And so I was aware that they were there, but there was lots of them. And so I was aware that it was important. So I said, well, Lord, I don't understand what this is all about, but the scene changed. And my mom comes by, and I don't see her. I just feel she's there. And she gives me her hand like this, and she's got something in her hand, I would say about the size of this piece of bread. Okay? And what it really is it's a heart, a beautiful heart made out of some form of ceramic, but it's all very ornate, and it's made out of ribbon, but it's made in the shape of a ribbon, but in the heart shape. And it has a little piece of silk paper on it, which I know I need to throw away and get a new piece to give to my aunt. Because this is coming, like mom is kind of sneaking in a gift for her sister, but it's going to come from me, which is the intent that I see in her heart. She doesn't want herself to be connected to it. So I know I'm going to wrap it up and with new silk paper, and then I give it to my aunt. I pick up the stuff on the table, and mom helps, which is also something else. I'm aware that she's helping, but I don't see her. All right? I'm trying to make up the correct words for her celebration for that song that's still in my head. I can still hear myself singing it. And Jesus, it was good to see them. I want to understand. Please, Lord. And Psalm 85 comes to my heart. Well, unbeknownst to myself, because I've forgotten already, it's been 7 years since Mom is gone and over 20 for my dad. Well, in Psalm 85, 86, and 87, those are the psalms my father, Heavenly Father, gave to me when my mom went home to be with Jesus. And so I'm going to take you just for a quick outlay of Psalm. So go with me to Psalm 85. And I just want you to see how God speaks in moments of brokenness. Because at the time when I received this, I really can't say I understood it. Okay? But I have notes. I keep notes. Why? Because they're important to me at the time. But Psalm 87 came on 7-11 in 04. Mom and I had Holy Communion together, and that was the psalm that God gave us for that day. I would take Holy Communion quite often with Mom. In this particular part came a few days after, actually twice. I took Holy Communion on the 15th of July and on the 19th of July. One at 2:55 in the morning, and it was for Mom, and the other one was at 10 o'clock that night. Here was the outlay that was important. Verse 4 at the end says, "This one was born in Zion." Indeed, verse 5, "Of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the people, this one was born in Zion. And they make music, they will sing. All my fountains are in you." That part was extremely important as I reread this again, and I said, "Oh my God, Lord, this is all things that you were dealing with me at the time, but did I understand?" The next psalm, Psalm number 88, was the day that Mom went home to be with the Lord. And that came 4 hours, I've written it down, Mom's with Jesus now, 3 hours, April 10th. And I'm sorry, it came back April 10th, a year later when I was in Quantico. But it came on 7-12-10, which is the day she went home, 7-12. So all these things are important, and I said to the Lord, "I don't understand, but get through to me," because sometimes, you know, God's timing is eternal. His not working on a clock like you and me. So these things were happening to me at that time, but my emotions were very raw. How many know when your emotions are raw, you have a hard time figuring out what God is really saying? So now, I read all this song, and I said to the Lord, "I have a sense, as I read Psalm 87, that your words to me when Mom went home, and now I perceive that my aunt is also freed up from the law." Because you see, Mom got born again many years before my aunt. My aunt accepted Jesus maybe a couple of times to please me. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
They pray the prayer to please someone else. It's not their prayer. But I can tell you that on her deathbed, when I spent almost a week with her, we prayed many times and much deeper than we had ever gone before. And all the religious garbage was out of the way. So I said to the Lord, "I know now that those three plates represent my mother's and grandmother's family. And it represents the three that are together at the table." And I was excited about that. Now, are there more coming in? I believe there will be more coming in. Because there was a graduation going on. There was an awareness going on. But I said to the Lord, and I said to Peggy that day, "I know it wasn't them coming to me. I was up there with them. I was aware I wasn't in this realm. I was in that realm." And this morning, this is what he said to me. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. So come with me to Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea, verse 29, as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. 32. And what's more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Joseph, David, Samuel, and the prophets who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouth of the lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword? Whose weaknesses was turned to strength? Listen carefully. One thing about all of these people is they were weak in their own eyes. But their weaknesses turned to strength. Does that apply to yours and me? So, declare that with me. Say, all my weaknesses.
All my weaknesses.
Like them.
Like them.
By faith.
Will turn to strength.
Everything that's weak about me.
Can
be used by God.
To strengthen others.
From the inner fortitude. That he releases in me.
At this particular moment in time.
These are not accidents. They're Holy Ghost strengths.
Your Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Watch now. Whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and whose became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life. Again, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. 39 is absolutely important. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Verse 40 should be underlined. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Only together with me were those three in the heavenlies being able to graduate, and I didn't have the connection of when my father and mother were graduating from the realm of the natural to the realm of Zion, which is the kingdom. And I believe God was saying, because of my connection to my aunt and how close she was to me and how close she was with her sister and her brother-in-law, that God allowed her this week to graduate to a new level, and I happened to be there to celebrate it with her. And I said, Lord, what has this got to do with what's going on today? He said, every one of you have people in your hearts that you've wondered about. And my answer to you is, God's not finished with them yet. God not finished with those that are stuck in some form of deception. God is bigger than that. The prostitute was caught, and she was willing to help the broken. all these others who had messed up lives that we see messed up. You know what? God turned their weakness into strength. So can he do it for us?
Yes.
Yes. Was my aunt, by choice, going into years of, I would call it slavery, giving up her life, and yet she shared with me more than one time, but more than anything else at that last time that I spent with her, she said, do you know why I gave up my life? She says, I gave up a future husband. I gave up children. I gave all that up so that my father would stop drinking and abusing my mother. Reflect on that for a little while. Are you willing to give up your future happiness in this realm for someone that is suffering, and you are willing to give up what you have in order for them to come to life? That's sacrificial offering. And she shared that with tears running down her eyes, because my mother and her were brought up by a man who was stuck in alcohol, totally drunk all the time, literally wasting money that he didn't have, and there was 12 children to feed every single day. My grandmother had 18 children. Six of them died when they were above 2 years old. And she was able to survive 12 of them, which I knew them all. Why am I saying this to you? Because you see, God took me out of the Bergeron family, and he brought me into this Claudier family. And this Claudier family became my family more than anything else. Not that the others weren't fine, but God chose to put me there. God chose to get me into that house, and my grandmother lived with us. My grandfather, who was an alcoholic, became blind, stopped drinking. I believe because my aunt gave up her life. How do we know what God works and how he works in different people? But would she graduate to a different level this day or this week? I don't know the answers to that, but I know in eternity she's not where she was a week ago. Amen. And why am I saying this? Because I want you to have hope for those who were stuck. Do you hear me? I want you to have hope in your heart that God still deals with those. Because as I was driving in, I said to the Holy Spirit, Lord, what scripture can I give them that really will manifest the truth of this statement today? And he reminded me that when he died, where did he go? He went down into Hades, right? What did he do while he was down there?
Took the keys back.
Took the keys back, but he did something else.
He ministered to all who were there.
He went to Abraham's bosom, which was a locked place. And he unlocked it, and he let all those Jewish believers out. And he said, now. And he opened the heavenly gates, and heaven was restored.
Oh.
Oh.
I never heard that before.
But that's what the scripture says.
That's right.
So, you see, what I'm saying to you is what you think is bondage to some will become their strength. What you might have believed about yourself being in some form of disability or weakness is not a problem for God. It's your future strength.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes. What you perceived as hopeless. Amen? What you perceived as hopeless is not hopeless. Now close your eyes. Put your Bibles down. Come on up. We need to take 2 minutes together. Say, Father's limitations.
Father's limitations.
Are unlimited.
Are unlimited.
My limitations.
My limitations.
Are according to my skinny brain. and I got to get out of that skinny brain. I got to get into my eternal brain. My eternal mind. The mind of Christ says every weakness that I have is being turned to strength today. Every corner of my life is being used to redeem the lost. I'm a special person. Able to release, compassion, grace, favor, and salvation to the broken. Because that's where I came from. I was broken. God picked me up. And he strengthened me by living water. He washed away those weaknesses. And they are now my strength. They are my strength. I am strong in him. I can preach the word. I can bring salvation to their hearts. Hallelujah. I'm not broken anymore. I'm restored. I'm recreated. And I'm powerful in Christ. Oh,